Excuse me. Thank you for your visit today. So I'll make it clear from the beginning. Unless you basically have any problem, we can put this meeting and live on televised. Do you have any problems with that? It's a normal modus operandi for us. But the thing is, if you decide not to, we can respect that decision. Fine, brilliant. Thank you. So basically, during this legislature, we have met particularly with one of the main topics, which are mental health in Malta. We're speaking about mental health. And we have also discussed the recent IVF amendments. Now, thing is, in Malta, we have this, we had the IVF law, which we have been amending lately, and we have introduced the PGTM service on the national health system. Thing is that we, us being quite a conservative country in Malta, it was quite difficult for us to put forward such ideas, and we're slowly putting on forward other ideas, particularly and new systems. PGTM, which is where basically it's testing for monogenic disorders for the embryo, which has been introduced lately. Besides, and that basically it was a chunk of our work. Besides that, we also had we also had the report by the Mental Health Commissioner in Malta, and basically we need to address that report, and we have to put forward certain topics, particularly post-pandemic. We've just, obviously, like Canada did, we're just coming forward out of the pandemic in Malta, during which the government helped basically by giving a mental, giving a health supplement, a wage supplement to all people across the board. So that basically we try to keep as much people in employment as possible. You tell me, how does that affect mental health? And as you know, mental health is really affected by a lot of things. The fact that people couldn't really live the way they normally live is already a hard impact, let alone if they finish off redundant. So basically it was a very tough decision, which did cost a lot to us Maltese. But besides that, we also tried to offer, and we did, nationwide vaccination. And in fact, I think we were the first country in the world which reached the herd immunity. At the moment, we're already thinking about the fifth dose for the vaccination, because we have given the fourth dose to the elderly and the vulnerable. And now, with the onset of influenza, for us in October, we're going to offer a free vaccination, like we always do, to the whole population with the influenza vaccine. And besides that, we're also going to offer as well the fifth dose of the anti-COVID-19 vaccination. So basically, we are moving in that direction. We try to make sure that we keep our systems going as smooth as possible. In fact, we did have fatalities, obviously, but per capita we had quite a few fatalities in Malta. The reason being is that we didn't overload our system. There was a point when I think it made headlines even in Canada, when the COVID-19 reached Italy, which is only 60 miles away from us. There were loads of deaths, and we were alarmed, because the thing is, what happened in Italy was that the healthcare system was overloaded, being that we have only one major hospital in Malta and another one major in Gozo. We couldn't afford that. So we tried to keep the people away from the hospital and basically see that whoever really needs the intensive care will have it. There was a point in other places where they were choosing whom to treat in intensive care or not. In Malta, we decided to go otherwise. We as soon as the people started to, as soon as an admission and a patient comes in, and he basically starts to be having his, you'll see that basic complications are setting in, we'll admit him to intensive therapy unit immediately. And in fact, we did take care, but we basically opened new intensive cares, intensive therapy units. We ordered new ventilators. At the point in time, it was extremely hard because all the world was rushing in. So it was very tough for us. And now we know about the toll post-pandemic, about the mental health toll about that. And we're aware of it, well aware of that. There's the WHO is also doing its recommendations, and we have to meet those recommendations. We try to. So basically, we are thinking about that as well. And we know also that mental health issues are on the rise, well, basically, I think, worldwide. And we are no exception. So we're determined to help with that, especially with new legislations and new measures. So basically, that's our plan for the moment, for the time being. There are other issues which are hot on our plates in Malta. At the moment, we're also... we had a case recently about, because in Malta, abortion is still illegal. And we're thinking about certain particular instances where possibly a termination of pregnancy would be needed for the sake of the mother. So when the mother is basically in the imminent risk of dying, so we have to act. At the moment, that was not covered by law in Malta, so we're trying to amend that law. Still, there's a heated debate going on, and probably it's going to be even more heated in the next few months about whether abortion should be introduced in Malta or not. There are a lot of pro-choice and people who are against that, and I feel that a very good discussion must be held in the island. So, and that is obviously directly related to us in the health sector. So basically, we've got quite a lot of work to do. Well, we do work in the health sector. Work will never cease. Especially now, us as GPs, influenza season is coming in. Like this morning, because the thing is, we're not in Malton, we're not fully, us who are members of parliament, we're not fully employed with the parliament. We have our own system. We have our own. So I still practice my own clinic. He still practices. And I held a clinic this morning, and I've seen, I think, more than 30 children who are all sick. So basically, probably this is going to be another tough winter which is coming.
Normally the virus starts when it gets cold, but I guess
cold is a relative term. Cold is a relative term, but for us, like, this is getting cold already. Usually it's a bit cold. When I mean cold, usually it never goes down below
8
degrees Celsius.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, if it's really, really cold for us, that would be around December, January. Usually that's the cold time of day. Before November, it's not really, really cold. And obviously now, because of...
Still swimming in November.
Yes. Like at the moment, the temperature of the sea, I think, is still about 27 degrees.
Until November, we still swim.
26 degrees, so... I think it's warmer in the sea than on land. So basically, yes, that's another thing. We are expecting maybe possibly a bad winter in terms of influenzas. There are various reasons why. I also believe that the mask itself did make a difference, because the thing is, I've seen someone who put his mask on. Hi. And I respect that. And I think that it does actually make a difference. So, in fact, in Malta, we told them, okay, listen, we're telling the people, listen, although wearing the mask is not obligatory anymore, but really we're not going to tell anyone, don't wear it. You can wear it, whatever you do, and we respect that decision, because we know that probably, yes, it makes a difference. Before, we used to look at the people wearing masks, why are they wearing masks? It's not like in our culture to wear a mask. But nowadays, after the pandemic, a lot of people learned a lot of lessons, particularly when you've never seen, you know, like such tremendous amount of people getting sick at the same time.
I think COVID has changed all the cultures a bit, and as you mentioned, mental health is probably one of the big ones that has got a lot of attention. I know even in Canada, we even have a minister who is charged with mental health, and they're there to make sure that everything, all the stops are pulled out, so you get rid of the stigma, you get rid of the fear, and you treat it for what it is. It's an illness that has to be looked at. And coming out of COVID, there has been a large impact on a lot of, especially younger people who have been, I mean, when you're in your teens and your early 20s, it's the time when you socialize. Suddenly you're locked in your basement or your parents' basement, not even your own. And you learn how to play games, but that doesn't exactly give you social graces. And that's something that I'm afraid is going to be impacting us in years to come for that whole generation. There's a few other items that we talked about, but prior to me continuing, would it be okay if I let my team or my delegation introduce themselves?
Yeah, no problem.
Please, Christine, je vais te laisser commencer.
Je vais faire en français. Bonjour, je m'appelle Christine Normandin, je suis membre du Bloc québécois. Ma circonscription se trouve tout près de Montréal et mon parti n'est représenté qu'au Québec. On a des députés seulement au Québec. Et autrement, merci beaucoup de nous avoir fait très apprécié.
Good afternoon, my name is Christine Normandin. I represent the party called the Bloc québécois, or the Québec Bloc, which is only present in the Québec region or province. And I want to thank you for welcoming us here.
Good afternoon. My name is Ruby Sahota. I'm a member of Parliament for the riding of Brampton North. The city of Brampton is in the Greater Toronto Area. I'm also the deputy whip for our party. I'm a Liberal representative. The Liberal Party of Canada is the current governing party. I can't say I have an extensive health background. I'm actually a lawyer by profession. I noticed that all of you. Now I realize, since you actually practice in those professions currently, why you all refer to your professions. My husband, however, is a podiatrist who specializes in wound care, doing surgical procedures on mostly diabetic patients. The city of Brampton, which I represent part of, is known to be the capital of diabetes in Canada. So we have extremely high rates of diabetes in that area. We currently, in Parliament, last term in Parliament, we passed a framework for diabetes, and it just got implemented last week. And so we'll see whether that has some positive impacts on our diabetes prevention work in Canada. I'm looking forward to hopefully sharing the results of that. Now that I know that that's such an important issue here in Malta, I hadn't realized. So thank you for having us here today.
Good afternoon. I'm Alyssa Goldberg. I'm the Canadian High Commissioner to Malta, and a pleasure to be able to see you again and to meet the other members of the committee. And certainly, if there's anything by way of follow-up to today's discussion, please don't hesitate to let the High Commission know, and we'll be happy to share any information.
I'm Richard Cannings. I'm a member of Parliament with the New Democratic Party. It's a left-of-center party. I represent a district in British Columbia on the west side of Canada, and I'm a biologist by training, so I wish we had more time in Malta to see the natural side of things.
I'm Kevin Waugh, the Member of Parliament for Saskatoon, that's in Western Canada, and I'm with the opposition party, the Conservative Party of Canada. Okay.
Very good, of course. Anthony Rhoda, my riding is Nipissing-Temiskaming, which is about 350 kilometers west of Ottawa and about 300 kilometers north of Toronto. So it's right in the center of Ontario. I like to think of it as the heart of Canada, but that's my own opinion. For what?
Highly biased opinion.
an unbiased opinion. But yeah, that's it's and thank you for receiving us here today. And I'm very impressed that the members of the health committee are actually doctors and practicing doctors, which really gives an interesting perspective to the committee. I'm sure some of the questions that are asked when you have witnesses or when you're doing inquiries, I'm sure would be very pointed and very specific. So that probably adds to the legislation when you do come up with it. One of the things that came up with us was the pandemic with COVID. We really locked down a lot in Canada to the point where a lot of things stopped. How did you deal with it here? Did you have any lockdowns? Did you enforce masks? I understand the intake on the pandemic or the vaccine. The vaccines was very high. Was that a forced thing or was it all voluntary?
In fact, no. Actually, we never had any lockdowns, and we made sure that we have no lockdowns whatsoever, practically for two reasons. One of them was the mental health aspect of that. Obviously, we were monitoring our numbers very, very closely, very closely. Second thing is the economical situation. And we knew that basically we've got, obviously for our size, we've got quite a small economy. And if we had to stop all the economy, it would create a whole disaster here in Malta. That was a very fine balance between keeping the economy up and going as much as you can, whilst taking good care of the health of your own people. And sometimes particular decisions were extremely hard. So no, we never had lockdowns. Besides that, and we didn't enforce the vaccination program either, but we had a very, very, very good nationwide information. We kept the people informed. We had a very good support from all the doctors and from all the healthcare workers. Basically, we knew that it was a nationwide effort. So basically, we all, even both parties, we were people, the professionals from both aspects. Basically, we just stood by together, and we were informing the people, and especially via television, via Facebook, we tried to reach everywhere, reach all the old people. Made sure it wasn't, although it wasn't really an obligation, but we made sure that a lot of people, particularly the vulnerable and the elderly, are vaccinated. And in fact, we had a very, very good uptake. It was an extremely good uptake, and we cannot complain about that, but we never enforced it. As regards the masks, we were obviously going on with all the regulations that were from CDC. We were following the CDC guidelines. And basically, yes, when the masks were obligatory, they were obligatory in Malta as well. To be honest, I should put our hats off also to the superintendents of public health in Malta, who are really, really, really responsible for that. We're working in tandem, and basically they were really very meticulous with following all the recommendations and the international guidelines. So basically we were moving on like probably the same guidelines that you were having. Only certain aspects, obviously then you can move accordingly, because knowing that practically the whole population is fully vaccinated, it would make it easier for you to go on with your own lifestyle and with your basically social aspect of that. Because the thing is, unless the people are not fully vaccinated, you're much more bound as the way you're going to proceed with the country and with the decisions that you're going to take. But even we also, at a point in time, we also basically stopped all the influx of people, apart from we're keeping our airports and ports open just for the supplies, because obviously we're a tiny island and we're dependent on supplies from other countries. And obviously, being an island, we must have the ports open and the airport open, because the thing is, we need to import a lot of supplies. Otherwise, we'll have big problems. But the thing is that we tried to keep ourselves as isolated as possible, but for only a few weeks, I would say. So basically, we tried to keep on going as much as possible, besides the fact that, as I've told you before, the government distributed about 600 million worth of wage supplement to all people across the board. And that wasn't alone. Basically, the government issued that on a, obviously there was a meticulous means test for that, but issued that, and not on loan, basically distributed that to all the people. And unless you have a good economy, you can't do that. So that's why we were really putting as well another, giving a lot of importance to the economy itself. Sperian Vassallo, the podiatrist and specialist in wound care. Incidentally, her husband is a podiatrist and he specializes in wound care as well.
Sorry for me, but it's crazy.
What was the means test that you used for the
wage? Thing is, obviously, that we were seeing who the people were who couldn't really work, and obviously by their employer, and see what's going on, and we go into each and every issue. Then there was the particular sectors who are basically checking out about whether they're really eligible for that or not. You apply for it, you'll be screened, and if you're eligible for that, you'll be issued the wage supplement. But they must be people who are redundant, obviously, or were not working.
Now, I have multiple members here. I don't know if I could take up all the questions. I don't know if they have... do you have any questions or anything you want to bring forward? Perfect. I was going to approach one that I know is a very touchy subject in Canada, although it is available as abortion, that you're looking at exceptions, I understand. What qualifies as an exception? In Canada, it's wide open. There is no restrictions whatsoever. What would be the possibilities that you're looking at as a committee?
Well, it's a very hot issue here in Malta as well.
Yeah.
First of all, we're being...
I'm Catholic, so I understand.
We are all Catholics, and we're quite a conservative country itself, although this is not... I don't really think that it's a matter of being conservative or liberal. Because the thing is, I think it's a question of life. So at the moment in Malta, what we're thinking about is that still at the moment in Malta, if the mother's life is in imminent risk of dying, and you decide to, and there's no way as that when you have to terminate the baby, you have to deliver the baby actually, if that baby dies, you'll still be criminally liable, the doctors. And so basically we're going to amend that law. But obviously within this field, and more to the moment, being that there's a very, well, let's say, vociferous. There's a very vociferous section of people who are, obviously, they're saying that their abortion is the right. So basically, at the moment, we need still to have a very good, mature discussion on the island. Because the thing is, what we need to do is... that the deliberate, we're never, ever going to support the deliberate ending of a viable life unless there's another life which is basically in grave or imminent risk of dying. So in that case, obviously, we're going to choose one of the two. Like, I think it's even practiced in Canada, is the way it is. But obviously, while you're delivering the baby, you're making sure that the baby is going to be, if you need to deliver the baby just to save the mother's life, you're trying to make sure that the baby lives as well. So you have to put all your forces into that so that basically you ensure that the baby lives as well. It's a different story with abortion. So there's also, they're saying that it's a right. Well, we know that some people are carrying out abortions abroad and they come back here. So we're well aware of that. So I think we need to have a good discussion about that. Basically, we can speak about decriminalization. That might be another topic which might come in. But we must respect life. And from the very early beginnings, like, for example, today, in the case of 24 weekers, we did have cases of 25 weekers, 24 weekers, who were successful stories here in Malta. We delivered babies at 25 weeks, and they've been, they're living a normal life today. And thank God we've got a very good healthcare system. Incidentally, we know that you've got a very good healthcare system as well. We respect that a lot. Actually, I think sometimes we use even certain guidelines which are influenced by our own guidelines. And that's why I feel that even us to follow the Canadian system sometimes, it's really, really, really very important for us as well. Like, for example, I would be more than glad to discuss with her the framework of diabetes that they've had in her hometown. It would be nice. Because the thing is, obviously,
it's national.
It's a national. So that basically we know that in Canada there's a very good healthcare system and you've got all the numbers. And the numbers will make your system perfect, I would say. Because the thing is seeing, it's true, but when you're practicing.
We're humble. We're always a work in progress. May I ask just a quick follow on that? Because, of course, the Irish have gone through quite a significant debate and discussion. And so this idea of having that national conversation, irrespective of where it might come out, at the end, I wonder if you're looking at the Irish deliberative democracy model, because that was the issue that they put to the deliberative democracy in the end, was whether or not Ireland should change its position.
Yes, in fact, obviously, you're going to see how other systems have worked, and then you apply your own. But obviously, you have to be taking consideration that there are the limitations and the mindsets of your own people, which tends sometimes to vary quite a lot from other countries. By right, even Ireland is a Catholic, and they tend to be a bit more, let's say, a bit more conservative as well, sometimes in the some people in the way of thinking. But I feel that basically in each and every country, you tend to have people who think particular thinking, which basically for them it's a no and means a no, and that's it, and some people who are open for discussion. So basically, you have to be careful. But as politicians, we have to be responsible and we have to be basically representative of all the people. So I think it would be very unfair from us to say that we're just closed shop. You have always to be open for discussion, because sometimes you'll be indicated by some people's experiences and by some people's indications.
No. Actually, it's still a criminal act in Malta. It's still occurred, although no doctor has ever been accused. That if you terminate an ectopic pregnancy, it's still a criminal act in Malta. It can get up to 4 years in prison, and the doctor can get up to 4 years in prison. So even if there is an ectopic pregnancy and it is terminated, by law,
the revocation of the warrant on a permanent basis.
Yes.
So basically you cannot practice anymore. And those are loopholes.
Comment / question. The issue of abortion, of course, although we've pretty much settled it many, many years ago, it still is a hot topic from time to time, even in Canada. But we have recently, and I don't know if you've looked into it, also passed medically assisted dying as well, with some parameters in terms of the legislation that was passed. Euthanasia. However, the courts have liberalized the legislation even further, and different provinces have had their own interpretations on the legislation. I'm wondering, as you are entering into this conversation on abortion, with parameters, I see this is the first step, I'm sure, in terms of where the mother's life is at risk, or it's atopic pregnancy. Are you also entering into any conversations about euthanasia?
True, in fact. The thing is that, yes, there has also been discussions and indications from the general public, not yet from the government side or from the political side about euthanasia. But we know this is going to come up for sure. And this, regards euthanasia, I feel, but this is a personal opinion, I feel that's going to be a bit more easier than abortion. A bit less discussed topic. A bit less discussed topic. Less hotly discussed, like, so to say.
I would say it's easy, perhaps, to the point where you're thinking of someone's death that is imminent. Because it was a difficult discussion when we had it. Our committee had to wrestle with it quite a bit. There was a special committee that was created for this discussion to take place, and currently one right now, too, because there's still a lot to be discussed as it's being implemented, and we're seeing the impacts. It depends on whether you're looking at those where death is foreseeable or anyone. Anyone given maybe a certain type of condition that they may have at any age. So I think that opens up a maybe tougher conversation.
I think basically that, like in all topics, especially with bioethical issues, like this is bioethics at the end of the day, there's never a right or wrong. So basically, it's open for interpretation, so you have to be really, really careful. Because I feel that no matter how hard and fast and that perfect that legislation is, that law is, basically there's still going to be, the way they interpret it, it's going to be very different. So the thing is, I feel to meet all the people's expectations is going to be impossible, I would say. But yes, obviously you have to be very careful, especially if you're going to introduce such laws, you have to be very careful how to implement them and how to basically see who are the people that you're going to be effective on, or basically you're going to carry out the procedures that you're going to do. Do remember one thing. We live in Malta. We've got a church for every day of the year. 365 churches in the island. So basically, as you can see as well, people tend to be very, very hard believers. So we have to be very careful as well with the way you cannot ever forget that there's a Catholic Church as well in Malta. So I have to reach a very good agreement with that. But obviously, as I've said before, at the end of the day, in politics, we are there to represent all the people. So you have to respect all the beliefs that you've got, whether they're in favor or against. So that's why I always believe that during these times, difficult as they may be, good discussion and the rationale behind it is very, very important. We had that with the COVID. We had quite a lot of undervaxxers on the island as well, which I'm sure you had as well. And we had even had protests. And it wasn't easy for us. But the thing is, you need to convince the people and you tell them what you're going to do, be truthful to them, and you know where you're heading. That in mind, I think it shouldn't be as big a problem as it might be.
I'm 10 minutes late for Parliament, I guess, and sitting, and you're supposed to be there. I just want to thank you for taking the time this afternoon. And we never seem to have enough time to do everything we want to. The relationship between Canada and Malta is a very important one. And these discussions just make it easier. I think it's important that we get to know each other and not be afraid to contact each other and learn from each other. And this is the first step, or one of the steps, in the process of making sure that we do have that open relationship and that ability to call on each other when needed. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Well, basically, we thank you as well from our side. To be honest, I must confess, I didn't really see that it was really time, and we have to be in the Parliament, but thank God it's in the same building. Well, I was also going to discuss medical cannabis, which I know in Canada is really top on the list and top in the world, basically. And we're still working on that here in Malta, which is another important topic, another quite revolutionary topic which we had on the island. you're laughing, but because you know that's the way it is. In Canada, they're the world leaders, so basically it was ideal to speak with you at this point in time. But anyway, we can discuss later with the High Commissioner. Thank you for that. It was nice to meet you, nice to hold the meeting. And please feel free to discuss any matters, and basically from our side as well for future. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.